Welcome. Welcome back to the Action Factory podcast. If you're just joining us, we are in session 7 of Neuro-Linguistic Programming in Residential Youth Work. Now, my name is Michael Dawson. Before we begin the session, let me introduce myself to those who might be new around here. So NLP or Neuro-Linguistic Programming is just one of the models I used to create my course for residential youth workers. It's one of many, and you may already have gathered that I am loyal to no particular model. The Solutions Toolkit is a course that adopts, adapts, and abandons the greatest techniques ever created. My reasoning is that our training often requires us to copy and paste into residential work, and the results tend to be disappointing. Thus, you know, there's no model we need to hold to the highest esteem. My research has shown that to work, a model is the most important thing. And what I mean by that is a model. If you don't understand what I mean by a model, working to any model as a team of residential youth workers is the most important thing. It doesn't matter what that model is. You can download my free PDF, The Big Four, that kind of explains all that. My personal mission is to convince you that as a residential youth worker, you have got the greatest job in the world. Now, I believe passionately that this sector deserves a universal framework for residential teams that provides consistency and operates independent of the team dynamic, training, and experience. Now, this podcast exists to help me in that goal. It helps me examine the approach and make sense of the tools at our disposal. So if you're unconvinced, then feel free to visit theactionfactory.com and introduce yourself to the free version of that training course. So that's the end of the commercial break. What you're really here to listen to is the free Neuro-Linguistic Programming course with a huge tilt towards residential youth work. And if you're new, then you can always drop back around 6 episodes to follow along with this training. It's designed to offer commutable chunks that can be listened to on the bus and practiced at work. And this NLP course is entirely separate from my main passion. But even this has a tilt towards resi work, and it can be useful to anyone in the care industry. This week, we're going to talk about a neuro-linguistic model called anchoring. What it is, how it works, and how you can use it to benefit your young people. So as youth workers, understanding and applying anchoring can profoundly impact the interactions and support with the young people. So let's go. First of all, what is anchoring? Anchoring in NLP refers to the process of associating an internal response with some external or internal trigger. It's kind of like creating a shortcut to a specific emotional or mental state. Kind of think of it as a button you can press to evoke a certain feeling or reaction. A simple example might be, you know, you hear a song that instantly takes you back to a happy moment in your childhood. We even verbalize it and we say, oh, I love this song, reminds me of that lovely holiday in Spain. Do you remember that lovely evening we had together? And that's a fairly common experience for all of us. And this is what NLP calls an anchor. What we don't often do is focus on the physiology. You know, if you pay attention to, you know, you may find that your heart rate's changed when you hear that song. You know, you stand differently. You feel generally better than you did seconds ago because the song acts as an anchor, triggering a joyful emotional response. And this is anchoring at its most basic. It's a stimulus linked to an emotional response. The stimulus can take many different forms and, according to NLP, can even be subliminal, and it can happen without us noticing. You know, a particular aftershave that reminds you of an ex, a particular set of words or phrases, a particular food. In traumatic situations, the anchor can come from extreme reactions, you know, negative reactions. The sound of a car skidding after a car accident can bring on the trauma. And this can increase the heart rate and cause stress. And some anchors are positive and some are negative. If we have naturally occurring anchors, then maybe it would be helpful if we could create positive ones and remove or collapse negative ones. You know, we all remember Lance Armstrong's 7-time Tour de France winner We remember those little rubber bracelets they used to have with the Livestrong icon. They're popular with lots of different causes. Now, whenever he entered a stressful situation, he would snap it against his wrist to invoke positive mindset. Now, I've personally used anchors in the past. I've found them useful, and I can testify to their effectiveness. I had a short career in stand-up comedy, you know, and to walk on stage and make people laugh, it's scary. The whole thing was what I often call my mental roller coaster. It was a challenge to my mental strength. I had no desire to kind of headline the Comedy Store, but here's how I used anchors. My anchor was to give me confidence to walk out on stage in front of thousands of people who would all look at me and wait for me to make them laugh. Now, the lesson I learned here was that a comedy audience are like a group of sharks. One whiff of nerves or weakness and they pounce. So I had to hit that stage like I couldn't wait to get on. And this was far from the truth, of course. So my anchor was to dig my thumbnail into my index finger. And this can be done kind of surreptitiously without anyone seeing. What I would do is I would close my eyes. Obviously not before I went on stage, it was all pre-prepared. I would close my eyes and I would think of a time I'd achieved something awesome. And it doesn't even have to be real. You know, I would walk out on stage. I would talk to a huge group of people just like you, you know. And while on stage, I become taller and taller. And this huge crowd becomes smaller and smaller. Their cheers and laughter are like a crescendo. People are crying with laughter and joy. I can feel the emotion, smell this smoky club and see in vivid colour. I'm like a giant on this stage. I'm huge. And I do this again and again until I can feel the joy of my performance. These people cannot touch me because every one of them loves me. Every sound is positive and I'm 30 foot tall. And then when I've got that feeling, I dig my thumbnail into my finger and I repeat the process. Now, this doesn't have to be a comedy club. It could be a job interview, a stressful meeting. And when the time comes, I'll fire my anchor and my brain will take this as a signal to empower me once more. And just before going on stage, I fire the anchor and it works like a dream. Shoulders go back and I run onto the stage. These types of anchors are great for a meeting, a party, maybe even your third late shift of the week. People you work with deserve the best of you no matter what. So on some occasions, my anchor helped me deliver my best self when I arrived at work and greeted the kids. And usually after that initial greeting, their energy would drag me along. But it was similar to that stand-up comedy club. I used to skip up the stairs like I couldn't wait to be there. Let's just look at the NLP formula for anchoring. First, we identify the state. We choose a positive, empowering state you want yourself or the young person to be able to access, you know, confidence, calmness, happiness, whatever you're trying to achieve. Then you choose what your anchor would be. This could be a touch, a word, a gesture. Make sure it's unique and can be easily replicated. The anchor can be anything you want, even treasured items, a ring that gets twisted on your finger. Then we associate this anchor with the state. We reach the desired state, and either naturally or by manufacture, and then we introduce the anchor and repeat the process. And later you can use the anchor to see if it elicits the desired state. It might take a few tries to strengthen the association. Is any of this useful in youth work? Why not? It works for most of your sports heroes. Manchester City have a reputation for celebrating success. They jump around and they sing in the dressing room. The energy is electrified, because winning must never become normal. Paul Ince, the footballer, would not put his shirt on until out of the dressing room. Boxers, tennis players, professional swimmers all enter the arena with headphones on so that they can follow the ritual and hear the song that motivates them to perform. All these things are anchors. So this leaves us with a similar problem as we've had in earlier sessions. Yes, we can help ourselves and young people who've got the capacity to work with the concepts. But what about everyone else? Now, a great way of using anchors to benefit our young people is to make them part of our culture, to build anchors into everyday life. So here's some thoughts and ideas, and I'm sure you've got more. A confidence anchor. When a young person achieves something, create an anchor. Put their hands in the air. Clap three times. Say a little rhyme or a ditty that always resonates with success. Just like a team huddle, it can be fired prior to their attempt, you know, whenever they need that boost of confidence. Then there's the calmness anchor. You know, maybe during a moment of calm, teach the young person to touch the thumb and forefinger. And when they feel anxious or upset, repeating this gesture can help bring back this calm state. You may even have succeeded in calming a situation. Let's say you talked a person down using deep breaths. That is the perfect time to install an anchor. And then next time you can say, you can do this. Remember what you did last time. Remember the depth, the breathing, you know. And this works as an anchor to help them enter that calm state once again. Positive memory anchors are great. Encourage young people to think of a happy memory. And as they relive it, use a unique word, maybe a nickname for the event, such as Conquering Day. It was Conquering Day. We need another Conquering Day. And this can later be used to evoke the positive emotions associated with that memory. These ideas can be used in dating and sales. So NLP says that we should anchor the positive feeling. So maybe I'm chatting to a customer, maybe a stranger, and I ask her about lots of positive things in her life. You know, when did you go on holiday? Where did you go? And as she answers, I fire my anchor. It might be me tapping the back of my hand, tapping my foot, and she can see it. And in theory, she attaches these positive things she's talking about with the anchor in the conversation. So I fire the anchor at the moment I ask her or tell her about my product. She attaches positive emotion to my anchor and is more likely to attach the same positive emotion to my product, in theory. Okay, so in working with a very charged situation with a young person, you maybe can use other techniques in this course to bring calm. As you do, maybe you put your hand over your heart in a gesture, and maybe this anchors calm in the future. Of course, with more mature adults, young adults, it's possible to teach the anchoring method as a coping mechanism. And then, again, these are things I've no need to say here, but of course, consent and comfort always ensure the young person's comfortable with the anchoring process, especially if it involves any kind of touch. You know, we know all that. We know that anchors can weaken over time. So it's all about using anchoring in an ethical way. Remember, anchoring it's not black magic. It's something we all do every day anyway. We fire off signals that set off emotional responses, whether positive or negative. And if I achieve anything, it's that you recognize that anchors exist. And secondly, you start seeing the ones that you have already installed. The takeaways. Anchors exist in us and our clients. It's a natural way of internalizing emotions, moods, feelings. We can practice recognizing our own anchors. We can practice recognizing anchors in our clients, positive and negative, the things that change that mood. We can help our clients install new positive anchors and find ways to make them part of our culture. I record these podcasts way in advance, so right now it's early November. However, if you're listening to this just after it's released, then I imagine that Christmas is almost upon us. So I'm going to take a break for a couple of weeks and allow you to decompress. That is those of you who get time off with the family, that is. And I know a lot of you don't. If you do, it might be fun to see those personal anchors live. You know, Christmas is a time for nostalgia and tales of Christmas past. You might find yourself in the middle of this fireside conversation. Relatives might talk fondly of the old days and how Christmas used to be. Well, look closely and you'll see that warm glint in their eye. Auntie Mabel might uncharacteristically ask for another brandy. And if something like that happens, just remember, that's an anchor. The last thing for you to do is remember to grab the notes for the episode. Subscribe if you feel the need. but I'll be back in 2024 with the final sessions of neuro-linguistic programming in residential youth work and an announcement of what we've got coming next. Have a wonderful and joyous Christmas and New Year. I'll be back in 2 or 3 weeks. Chink, chink. My name is Michael Dawson from the Action Factory podcast. See you soon.